So we prayed and asked the Lord to show us, and I said, I'm not going to borrow any money. No matter what, I'm not borrowing any money. Came home, had a telephone call, called this man, never heard of him before. He lived up in Missouri. And he said, Dr. Stanley told me his name. He said, I just called you. He said, I just felt real compelled to call you yesterday. I said, well, I was up in the mountains with our team praying. And I said, well, thank you very much for calling me. He said, I'm 70-some years of age. I've learned so much. He said, I just couldn't tell you how God's transformed my life listening to you. He said, by the way, he said, I never hear y'all talking about any needs. Oh, I said, we have needs. I said, we just don't talk about them. I said, God just doesn't let me spend time on the air talking about that. And he said, well, do you have any needs? I said, well, yes, we do. I said, in fact, we need a new building. I said, I found one that they want $2,750,000 for it. I said, but I believe we can buy it for $2 million. So I told him about it. He said, you think you can get it for $2 million? I said, yes. He said, I'll take care of that. Now, he gave us the building. Here's what I want you to see. God is always ahead of us. If we'll just wait. I cannot tell you how important it is to wait, wait, wait until you've got God's clear sense of direction. It is the most, it's a very difficult, difficult lesson to learn. Waiting upon God. I go back to my first point. If you don't learn to listen to Him, how will you know when He's speaking? How many of you are unmarried? Raise your hand. Quite a number of you. All of you who are unmarried more than likely want to get married. Amen? Some of you are looking while you're here. In fact, I know you are. One young lady told me she'd already found him since she's been here, so I know you're looking. Let me tell you something. You better wait until you are absolutely sure.
That's right.
You better wait. But you know what? You make it a principle. Spending time alone with Him, letting God speak His word through you, spending time waiting upon the Lord. The next point some of you may have a little difficulty with, I hope you certainly do not. And that's simply this. Here's a major principle for me. View everything as coming from God. Now, you and I are quick to quote Romans 8:28, but we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. We quote that to people, and you know what? We can quote that real joyfully when everything's going our way, right? When the bottom drops out, and it says God causes all things to work together for good. Let me tell you why this is so very important. I had to settle at some point in my life the sovereignty of God. This is my personal conviction. That I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about believers, and I'm talking about my personal conviction. God is absolutely sovereign in every aspect of our life. I had to decide either He's in control or someone else is in control. How can I serve God thinking that man's in control? And here's what happens. Once you settle that issue, and I remember talking to two young pastors on a cruise not long ago, and we were talking about who's in control and the sovereignty of God and so forth. And I said, I do believe that God is absolutely sovereign in all things. Neither one of them agreed. Neither one of them. I said, well, but you know, you can make decisions and this, that, and the other. I said, I understand that. But I do believe that God is absolutely sovereign. One of those men, both of those men left their church soon thereafter, had to. Now, let's think about this for a moment. If God is sovereign over this universe, He's sovereign over my life. Will He allow me to be disobedient? Yes, and pay the penalty. But He is absolutely sovereign. Now, here's what that does for me. When I understand His sovereignty and the battles and the difficulties and the hardships come, here's what it protects me from. It protects me from getting angry, at least after a few moments at times. It protects me from ever getting bitter. It protects me from looking for somebody to blame. And it protects me from wanting to run from a difficult situation. Because if He is sovereign and I see everything is coming from Him, then here's what it causes me to do. Now, don't ever forget this. When you get in a tough spot, difficulty, hardship, tribulation, people working you over and criticizing you, here's what you do. You ask this question, God, what is your goal for my life in this situation? Not, how fast can I get out of this? Where can I go? Is there another church? Why are you doing this to me, Lord? God, what is your goal for this? Because you see, nobody can touch you unless God allows it. Does He not say in that 34th Psalm, the angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear Him and He delivers them? If God is our protector, the only time anybody can touch you, if God opens a door to let them in, And if he lets them in, he's got a good purpose in mind. Or Romans 8:28, you better cut out of your Bible. He said he causes all things to work together for good. Now, you know what? God didn't tell me I'd understand all that. There's not a single verse in Scripture where he says that he is under any obligation to explain anything to me. God doesn't have to explain to me why he does what he does. But this much I know, if I can accept the sovereignty of God, I can face any situation, any circumstance, no matter what, no matter how painful, and walk through it absolutely victorious, because I know that only that which God allows can happen. Now, if he allows something to happen I don't understand, I have to trust him that he knows better than I. And years ago, I'm sure if someone had said, if this happens to you, it will absolutely destroy your ministry, I would have agreed 100%. But you know what I've learned? God's in control. God's in control. God is in absolute control of your life. He is in absolute control. He will allow things to happen I don't understand. But you know what? I don't have to understand them. All I have to do, listen, is to walk obediently through them. Now, here's what happens. Tough times come and you want to leave. Remember this. If you're going to greener pastures, the guy who just left thought it looked brown to him. So he moved on to something that looked green to him. Remember this also. You're getting out of seminary and you're going to a church. Think about this. You jump too fast. You get out of God's will. When will you ever get back in his will? You get in the wrong church. You mess that up. Get those folks out of God's will. When will you ever get back in God's will? What was God's plan? This is why it's so very important that you and I trust him, listen to him, stay on our face before him, and do what? Acknowledge his sovereignty. He's in control. And this is how you can walk through the most trying, difficult. Listen, I've been in a situation on one occasion when deacons came to me and they were going to fire me that night. And I don't ever forget the wonderful peace I had. They sent two trial lawyers to see me, tell me why I couldn't be the pastor. They're going to vote that night, no way to win. I won't ever forget what wonderful peace I felt. I thought, well, Lord, am I in my right mind sitting here feeling all this quietness in my spirit? I just said to them simply this, you know what? You can fire me on Sunday morning at 11:05. I won't be angry and I won't be bitter. Because you know what? All I have to do is be obedient to God. You have to live with your decision. I'll be happy to live with mine. When God is in control, you know what? You don't have anything to fear no matter what. And you're going to walk into some difficult situations. Please remember that. God is in control. God is in control. Deacons are not in control. Nobody else is in control. God is in control. You say, but now what about the pain and the hurt and the suffering? If God allows it, you know why? You needed it. I needed it. God is doing something wonderfully blessed in your life. Painful, hurtful, regrettable in lots of ways, yes. But you know what? What you're asking for is, God, equip me to be used of you. Now, you think about your age, and let's say you live to be 75. Let's say you got 30, 45 years to serve the Lord. Let me ask you this. When do you want him to equip you to serve him? After you get about 60? No. You want him to equip you early in life so that you can have a full impact in your life. Then you have to start out operating by principle, not by emotion, and not by reacting to circumstances and situations in life. If you can accept the fact that he's absolutely in control of everything. And let me just say this. And I called last night to be sure I had the statistic right. I called one of my staff members to say, now tell me again what you've told me. More than twice a week, sometimes some weeks daily, either by telephone, now by fax, or by internet, or by letter, we get more than one letter a week, more oftentimes than one a day, but not one every day, of pastors who are going through difficulty, hardship, troubles, trials, and 99% of the time, the issue is the control. Who is in control of the church? That's the issue. So I know you're going to have difficulty and hardship and trials. If you can just remember this one thing, because one of my friends kept saying this to me and it helped me so much. Remember, Charles, God is in control. God is in control. God is in control. And if you remember that, it'll save you a lot of heartache and a lot of pain. Then let me just mention one or two things quickly, because I'm sure that you've missed about three classes by now. Amen. But you know what? You're going to forget those classes, but you're not going to forget this. That much I know. Listen. Fifth principle. Serve out of weakness, not out of strength. Serve out of weakness, not out of strength. The Apostle Paul said when he discovered this, he discovered that when he was at his weakest moment, that's when he experienced the greatest surge of the power of God in his life, in his very weakest moments. And so often we want to get independent, we want to get stronger and more skilled, and we want to become more astute, and we want to be more eloquent, and we want to be more of this and more of that. We want position and status and prominence and prestige. And you know what happens? You start depending on all of that, and the fire of God goes out of your heart. We are to operate on the basis of inadequacy. And you recall what the Apostle Paul said when he was talking about that in his own life? Listen to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, in such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Now listen. I don't ever want to get to the place in my life where I don't feel absolutely totally dependent upon Him. I don't ever want to get to the place in my life where I am so either financially secure or whatever that I don't have to depend upon Him. It is a dangerous position to be in. And oftentimes, pastors are looking for security. Remember this. There's not a single person on the face of this earth who has any security other than Jesus Christ. You can lose it all just like that. He's the only security we have. If you and I learn to, listen, if we learn, watch this, if we learn to operate out of weakness, we don't have to defend our image, we don't have to try to impress anybody, we don't have to do any of that. All we have to do is do what God tells us to do. Operate out of a sense of weakness. And I simply mean this, God, I'm absolutely, totally dependent upon You. If You don't do it, God, it's not going to get done. I give You my life, but God, You're going to have to empower me. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to make it stick. You're going to have to make it work. God, I don't know how to do that. And I can tell you that over and over and over again, things that have happened in the ministry, in the fellowship, have been things I could never thought up, never worked up, never been able to imagine, something that God did out of crying out desperately, God, if You don't do this, I don't know what's going to happen. Every single time, God answers the prayer. If you remember, your goal is not to become strong. Your goal is not to become independent. Your goal is not to become eloquent. Your goal is to walk obediently before God, depending upon Him for everything. Then let me just mention this last thing. And that is, let God fight your battles. You're going to have them. You're going to have lots of battles out there. And to think that you won't, you will be greatly disappointed. You're going to have lots of warfare. And it'll be spiritual warfare. Let God fight your battles. You say, well, how does God fight our battles? Here's how you fight. You know when Paul told Timothy to fight a good fight? Listen carefully. You listen and say amen.
Amen.
You fight your battles on your knees in your closet, and God will give you His victory in public. You don't fight it in public. You don't get angry. You don't lose your cool. You don't argue. You don't defend yourself. You let God fight your battles. And I've sat on a platform, excuse me, a number of times in big battles. The last time, there were 5,300 people at our business meeting. The goal was to get rid of me after I'd been there a long time. Remind me to tell you another blessing. So 5,300 people. I sat on the platform for 3 hours and watched all this go by. And I just sat there with the most perfect peace and quietness in my heart because, you see, I'd already fought that battle. They were fighting it in public. I'd fought it back in the prayer room. The battle was over as far as I was concerned. It was just a matter of watching what God was going to do. And I watched it. And so they voted 85% for me, 15% against me. 1 month, I went away for a month and some let them think about it. Came back, had another big business meeting. There were 30-some hundred people there. I sat there and watched the same thing. The battle had already been won. Listen, remember this. When Moses went to see Pharaoh, the battle had already been won back in the wilderness. When Joshua went to Jericho, that wall had already tumbled down before he ever got there. You can look all through the scriptures. God's always working ahead of His servants. Don't you try to fight your battles. You let God fight them. You get on your face. You stay in the prayer room until God gives you an affirmation that it's done. You know what? You can face the whole world and never have to worry about being defeated, because that's where you fight your battles. Now, you say, well, you mean to tell me you had two business meetings and they try to get rid of you? Yes. And you know what? Since then, everything at church just skyrocketed in growth. Now remember this, when you go into the valley, here's what you're going to think. God, will this ever end? Yes. Listen, and if you will stay true to God, you think, God, could you ever bless this again? Yes. And how many times I have encouraged pastors, don't leave, don't run, doesn't make a difference what they do to you. If God sent you there and he's told you to stay there, let them do anything they want to do to you and you'll come out winning every single time. And you're going to think I'm materialistic, but I promise you I'm not. Never sought anything in my life. On that second business meeting, that was my anniversary, 26th anniversary. So you can imagine, happy to have the pastor this morning, vote him out tonight. That's the deal. Let me show you how good God is. December, this man walked up to my administrator. He said, you know, I don't think we treated the pastor. He said, that was a terrible thing we did. Welcoming him on Sunday morning and trying to vote him out on Sunday night. He said, I've been thinking about that. And he says, besides that, his car is about 5 years old. He gave me a brand new Mercedes. Two. Now listen carefully. You know what? If you'll obey God, you'll never be able to estimate his blessings.
You see, don't fret, fight, struggle, and doubt. If you just quietly walk obediently before him, what he will do, he will honor you in ways that you will never be able to imagine. Don't manipulate yourself. When you get around and these pastors call me all the time and say, what shall I do? There are certain things you can do. One of which is to get on your face until you have the victory. Then you can face anybody squarely and quietly. Let me tell you, watch this carefully. You listen and say amen. Your enemies are going to look for the slightest sign of fear. The slightest sign that you are intimidated by them. You know what? When you walk in obedience and faith before God, you look him square in the eye and never flinch. You know what? Here's what will ultimately get them. Your quiet spirit and humility before God will ultimately defeat them, because they're going to sense that they're fighting against somebody beside you. What's the key? I've said this 50 times almost as well. Back to the prayer room. Back to your knees. Back before God. I'm leaving this one last step. Here's the bottom line for the ministry. Obey God.